Communists, for example, tradition-minded communists viewed his ideas as undermining communism, as undermining the power and order of the system that was to them critical. This is why in August of 1991 they tried to overthrow him. Though, of course, as you know, the real result was really only to hammer the final nails into the coffin of the old communist order. More liberal-minded citizens also lacked his attachment to these ideas of socialism. They felt that the ideals about human dignity and rights and humanism pointed not to socialism, but to a free market economy and to a truly liberal democratic society without a role of a communist party at all. And many of these people were in fact determined to see more radical change than Gorbachev believed in or believed was safe. Their time, of course, would come when the coup against Gorbachev failed, when the Communist Party was banned throughout Russia, which was now independent, and when the USSR collapsed. The problem, as many discovered, is that freedom, which was gained in 1991, even truly democratic elections with multiple parties competing, truly free markets, a completely free press, freedom answers only some of people's desires and needs, the desires and needs that led them to be discontented with the Soviet Union. People also need, Russians certainly want, security in their lives, personal security, but especially material. They want their government to be effective and honest. They want to be proud of their country, have it respected in the world. And the dramatic collapse of communism in 1991 did not immediately or still solve these problems. On the contrary, while freedom truly flourished after 1991 in almost every conceivable way, the social order disintegrated. The economy declined precipitously, a 40% drop in the gross domestic product, the GDP, in only 8 years from early 1992 to early 2000. Almost half of the economy vanished, and only in the last couple of years is growth beginning. Growing wealth in the society besides widespread poverty. 30 to 50% of the people in post-communist Russia are still beneath the poverty line. One sees widespread homelessness and begging side by side with a class known as New Russians, with fancy apartments and independent houses and Mercedes and foreign clothes and Western bank accounts. We see disastrous public health conditions, most visibly in the dramatic drop in the age of death in Russia, which now is still only in the 50s for men. Widespread crime, both organized crime associated with the famous mafia, basically protection rackets, but also a great deal of disorganized crime, muggings and burglary, and even widespread murder. We see, since the end of communism and the coming of freedom, widespread moral breakdown, rising prostitution, increasing drunkenness, growing gambling, drug use, and a heightened wave of suicides. And one sees and saw in the years after the end of communism, widespread corruption in business as it became privatized, and even in government. Though Vladimir Putin's coming to power in the last couple of years, beginning with 2000, has led to a decline at least of government corruption. To be sure, conditions have begun to improve in many ways in the last few years. More manufacture of Russian goods, a parliamentary system that is working tolerably well, a growing body of laws that are protecting individuals and institutions, and the continuing development of civil society, political parties, a free press, various civic organizations. And yet, most Russians are still far from living the life they most crave, what most Russians will simply call a normal life. So many social problems still remain. And yet, the majority of people in Russia are today quite patient. They've had their fill of revolutions, of utopian radical experiments, and indeed, there are slow, gradual signs of change. And perhaps, one might suggest, this time they'll win. And the sort of life that generations of Russians, many of whom we've looked at in this course, the sort of life they've dreamed of and tried so hard to create, a life that is free and democratic and prosperous and ethical, in which the individual really can live with the dignity he deserves, she deserves, as a human being, that this sort of life will finally be theirs.
We hope you've enjoyed these lectures from our Great Courses series. Our courses are now available to order online. Visit our website at www.teach12.com or call our customer service representatives at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-832-2412. Thank you very much.